This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Welcome back to the Palanquin Podcast Network. We're brought to you by YakGadget. For all your fine quality kayak fishing accessories, go to YakGadget.com. Pelican cases, coolers, and lighting. Go to Pelican.com. And the 153 Bait Company. For all your hard and soft bait needs, go to the 153angler.com. So join with me as together we dive into the tips and techniques that will help make us better anglers out on the water. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Bass Fishing for Noobs here on the Paddle and Fin Podcast. I am your host, Sean Lavery. Thank you guys for joining me again this week. Just to start out, this show is going to be a little bit different. It's been a very busy week for me and a lot of other kayak anglers as the Hobie TOC is taking place as we speak. So I had a hard time trying to find someone to talk to this week. I had two people that had to back out on me, unfortunately, and just a busy week for everyone all around. So today I think I'm going to fly solo if I'm going to give it a shot. And so I apologize for those of you who are sick and tired of seeing my face. Today it's going to be the only face that you get to see if you're watching this on YouTube, but we'll try to make the best of it. So I want to start out with a story. So Wednesday, I been really struggling to get out on the water and fish with time change. It starts getting dark here now at about 5 o'clock. Sunset's right around five. And it gets dark real quick after that. So I've just been struggling to find time to get out on the water. So Wednesday, I was like, I have to get out on the water. So I loaded up my kayak in my truck the night before, Tuesday night, and I was like, I'm just going to take my kayak to work. I get done working at 3:30. I said, I'm just going to drive to the river, hit the river, probably get there around 4:05 and just fish until dark. I got to get some fishing in. So I did that. I loaded up my kayak, took it to work. A bunch of people are like, why is your kayak in your truck? And I was explaining to them that I really wanted to get out. So I got done at work at 3:30, hopped in the truck, started heading towards the river. And I was really kind of questioning where I wanted to go. I have a couple of places close by me that, I had some options. The river flow was pretty normal. Wasn't too crazy. Wasn't super low either. So pretty much most of my options were open. And I decided on a location that I had recently stumbled upon, and the last couple of times I've went through there has been really a pretty productive spot for me. So I was like, I have limited time, maybe 45 minutes, an hour if I'm lucky, to fish. So I just wanted to try and get a bite, so go to the place I had the best odds of at least landing some kind of fish. So I put my boat in at the ramp, pushed off and paddled upstream to this spot. And maybe third or fourth cast in at the spot, I landed a nice 16-inch Smalley. And I was like, all right. Didn't get skunked. I was super worried about getting skunked. I just wanted to catch a fish. So got that monkey off my back pretty early. Started casting around. I noticed a bass boat upriver from me a little bit who was floating downstream. So I kept kind of fishing the area I was, didn't want to really make too much of a scene. Ended up catching another smaller 14-inch Smalley that, fought pretty good, but wasn't crazy huge. And about that time looked up and the boat was pretty much right on top of me. So I kind of, I didn't really want to give up that spot, but they were kind of just floating through and didn't really make any effort to go around me. So I kind of backed out of the spot and they floated right over top of it. Two guys cast, and I wasn't really sure what they were throwing, but they were both casting kind of. So it took them about maybe 10, 15 minutes to float through. And they got down below me, maybe another 100 yards or so, turned on their motor and left. They had saw me catch the 14-incher, so I thought that they would maybe hang around a little bit longer, but apparently they were a little frustrated. I didn't see either of them catch a fish, but they quickly jetted out of there after they got downriver past me. So I decided at that point it was starting to get close to 5 o'clock. The sun was, down below the horizon, and things were starting to get, darker. So I was like, I guess I'll just drift back down to the ramp from here and just cast my way back down. I'll start at the hole that I knew was halfway decent and then start, floating back downstream. Well, needless to say, second or third cast after that boat kind of hightailed it out of there, I hooked into my PB Smalley. 20 inches, it didn't fight really a whole lot. Jumped one time, and, as soon as I saw it jump, I knew it was a big one. And wasn't super far from the kayak when it jumped the first time. So I grabbed my net quick, kind of yanked it over, got it in the net, and pulled it on board. So I was super stoked. I've been looking for a 20-inch Smalley on the Susky for a long time. And to finally get it, I was super happy. It really totally choked the bait I was throwing, and that's the bait we're going to talk about tonight. It's a lipless crank, and I've been wanting to do a show on this for a little bit. I have a couple of feeler emails out to and messages out to some people asking to come on and talk about it, but I really didn't have much of a response. So, but because I've been doing so well on this lore, I wanted to kind of take a moment and at least get it out there, because I think right now is almost prime time to be throwing it. There are other times of the year we'll talk about that it works well too, but I've just been doing really well since I started throwing the lipless crank. So today we're going to go over everything that I know about lipless cranks. Again, I'm definitely a noob when it comes to some things, but I've put in a lot of research on this topic this week as I was, preparing, hoping to do a show with a professional, but I feel like I have a pretty good handle on it. So let's start breaking it down. So lipless crank, what is a lipless crank? So most of you guys, we've done shows on crankbaits before. It's basically you have your hard body bait. It's basically something that you're going to pull through the water. Doesn't have a bill on it. But it still works. Does bounce off the bottom pretty well. We'll talk about that. That's one of the techniques that I like to use. But kind of when do I throw a lipless crankbait? Well, I started throwing a lipless crankbait this year towards the end of summer. A fishing buddy of mine, Jake Stoffman, was upriver in Harrisburg on a bass boat with his buddy, and had a really, really good day on the lipless crank. And he said, hey, you should probably tie one of those on, try throwing it down in your area. And I had never thrown the lipless crank in the river before because I was kind of, worried about it. I throw crankbaits a lot in the river and was doing pretty well with them this year. But I really thought, with the bill on there, that's what was keeping me from getting snagged up. And when I was looking at the lipless cranks, I'm like, well, there's nothing there to keep me from getting snagged up. And, the Susquehanna is a really rocky river. I just, it didn't seem like it would be the best choice to throw. But after Jake had that really good day up in Harrisburg, he told me I should try it, and he ended up coming down to fish with me. We went out, and he was started throwing the Lipos right away, and I had a regular crankbait tied on. And in the time that I caught my first fish, he had already caught four or five fish at that point. He kept telling me, I'm telling you, tie the Lipos on, tie the Lipos on. And I think I only had one or two with me at that point in my tackle box, but I took out a craw colored one. It was kind of I didn't have a lot of options. So I tied on this craw colored, I don't know if it was a rattle trap. We'll talk about some of the ones I've been using, but I started catching fish. And from that point on, again, that was late summer, probably August, beginning of September. I really haven't put it down, just because every time I go out, it's been pretty productive for me. It's helped me keep the skunk off for the most part. So I feel like late summer going into the fall is a great time to be throwing it. I'm thinking maybe that it'll work in the wintertime, and I know it definitely works in the springtime, because that's when I originally bought the Liplesses that I did. It was after watching a Tactical Bass in episode where they were talking about springtime, early spring, when the water's just starting to warm up and the fish are starting to move back shallow, that's a good bait to use. In my research that I've done on this, initially I had looked at the Lipos crankbait as mostly a shallow water bait, but they're saying that it works really well out deep. I'm still definitely not a very well-versed deep angler, but I'm kind of excited to try this. When I think of deep water, you know, especially this time of year, as the water is getting a lot colder, I'm thinking blade baits, and everything I was reading and watching seemed to infer that a lot of places where you can fish that blade bait, where you're just stroking it off the bottom, is you can almost do the same thing with a Lipos and still get bites. So looking forward to getting out and trying that here in PA as the water gets colder. It's definitely starting to get really cold. This morning we had temperatures in the low 30s. And so the water temperature is going to be dropping real quick. I'm going to have to start wearing my dry suit and, all that fun stuff. Not looking forward to that, missing the, warmer weather, but it is what it is. Get back out on the water. You got to do what you got to do. So times of year again, springtime is phenomenal. And then, late summer into the fall is good. And I'm thinking winter is going to be good too. So, now that we got that out of the way, I'll let you know the kind of my setup that I've been throwing it on. It's pretty simple. It's my crankbait rod. In reading about this, pretty much most of the things I saw were talking about using a moderate rod or something with a lot of that hyperbolic bend to it, so that when the fish jumps, again, this is a treble hook bait, so you want to try and keep that fish pinned as much as you can. And, you know, don't want to introduce any slack into your line if you can help it. And that parabolic rod, like a moderate action, at least if you don't have a rod like that, at least something with a good bit of tip, so that when the fish does, you know, kind of jump, it'll still absorb some of that shock and kind of keep them pegged. I, knock on wood, have not lost a fish yet on the Lipos on that rod. I'm using a Cass King crankbait rod. It's like a $70 rod. It's not a bank buster by any means. And it really, really does well at keeping the fish pinned. Like I said, that the 20 incher jumped and it was stayed pegged the whole time. So I've been, you know, both lucky, but also I think the rod has a lot to do with it. I did find one YouTuber that talked about using a medium heavy moderate or fast action rod with a lot of extra tip in it, that helped absorb the shock a little bit. He wanted a little bit more backbone. But in my experience, the moderate rod that I've been using, it's a medium moderate rod. It's been working really, really well. Line wise, I've read both fluorocarbon and braid to leader. tactical bass and really recommended, depending on your application, you would stick with either straight fluorocarbon if you're more burning it right back to the boat, or a steady retrieve. Or one of the other retrieves that I'd like to talk about is kind of a yo-yo technique where you cast it out, let it hit the bottom, and almost like you're stroking a jig or a blade bait. You're just pulling it up off the bottom a little bit, and you'll feel that as it kind of comes off the bottom, and then you just kind of follow it back down. And I also watched my local tackle shop does a Thursday night kind of podcast every night or every Thursday, where they talk about different baits. And recently they covered the lipless as well. And they really talked about when you do that, when you're stroking it, like doing the yo-yo, when you pull it up off the bottom, it's not crazy fast. You're just kind of enough to that you can feel that vibration as it comes off the bottom. But then they really stress that you want to slowly let it back down and not just, you know, totally slackline it, because a lot of times you'll get those hits as it's falling back down, and you want to be able to feel that. So they really kind of stress on my local tackle shop podcast that you follow that back down. You almost still feel the weight of it as it goes back down to the bottom. Then when you feel it hit the bottom again, then you slowly bring it back up, and you can get hits on the pull up and on the fall there. And that's kind of the technique that I've actually been using on the river. Initially, I started out with a straight retrieve and did okay with that, but I really started getting bites a lot more when I'd let it hit the bottom. And I do hang up occasionally. I've lost a few. Once I go through the ones I have sitting here next to me, I'll kind of talk about that a little bit. I have lost quite a few, not quite a few, but maybe three or four, including that crawl one that I, you know, caught my first couple on. But for the most part, I've been really surprised that it hasn't gotten hung up as much as I would expect with no bill and a treble hook bait. So, again, I've been playing around with this yo-yo technique, and it's been super productive to me. It's kind of what I was doing when, I caught the 20 incher. I was kind of feeling the rocks underwater, and then as I'd feel them, I'd start pulling it up and reeling it slowly, and then kind of let it go again. And just adding some stops or pauses in my retrieve, and let kind of allowing it to hit bottom again and come back up. So again, if you're doing that kind of technique, tactical bass and really stressed braid to leader, because it will let you feel those rocks a lot more on that braided line. And again, that's I throw mostly braided leader on pretty much everything I do. I just kind of have shied away from straight fluorocarbon on most things. And yeah, it's worked out pretty well for me. But again, so they recommend everything I read kind of recommended between a 12 and 15 pound line, both in the fluorocarbon and in the braid. I've been going a little lighter. I think my setup right now has 10 pound braid with 10 pound fluorocarbon tied onto it, with a 10 pound leader, and that's worked okay for me. Again, I caught the 20 incher, didn't really have any problems. It kind of came right in. If I start breaking fish off, it's definitely something, probably one of the first things I'll look at upgrading. So far it hasn't been a problem for me, but like I said, just, in full transparency, everything I've read and watched online seems to kind of lean towards 12 to 15 pound. So if you're looking to set that up, you know, that might be a good starting spot. If your fish are a little more line shy, or you already have 10 pound spooled on, I wouldn't worry about changing it, because it seems to be working okay for me. All right. So that is line, and reel or rod. We talked about reel. I'm throwing it on a spinning rod or a bait casting rod. Trying to think what reel I have on there. I know it's a 7-to-1 reel, and that's been working well for me. Tactical Bass and a couple others recommended 7-to-8, so that you can really catch up with the fish and keep them pegged and make sure that they don't get any slack introduced into the line. So definitely, I think a higher speed reel would be good. I don't have any problems, you know, as far as feeling that vibration or feeling like I'm working it too fast. It seems like a pretty good speed to me for, you know, pulling that bait through the water when on a straight retrieve. And it lets me, you know, speed up and burn it if I really want to. Although most of my retrieves have been pretty steady. I've been kind of keeping it on the slower side, just enough that I can feel it vibrating. I also really like that because right now there's a lot of leaves and stuff in the water. So I can tell when I have something on it, because if, you know, it stops vibrating, but I don't feel that tug or weight on it, then you know, it's almost always because something got on it, and you can either, you know, give it a couple pops and try and clear that, or just bring it in and clean off the hooks. You know, with the treble bait, you always have, you know, it's going to pick up a little bit more grass and a little bit more debris. So far I've been doing okay with cleaning it off. I did, when I started fishing with Jake that first day, we ended up having to go upriver away from the rocky, really rocky spots into kind of the grass beds, just due to some duck hunters that were kind of stationed down around the really rocky parts, and just didn't feel comfortable down there around them. So we ended up going up into the grass, and I initially was like, well, I'm going to have to take this off because I'm going to be pulling in grass left and right. And initially I did, but I started getting a good feel for kind of, you know, just pulling it out of the grass and also keeping it riding just above the grass, where I just kept ticking it and picking up a little bit of grass, but I could just give the rod a couple pops and it would clear that. And doing that technique, I really, I landed a bunch of fish that day, and it was productive. And up until that point, I really had kind of shied away from the grass just because I felt more comfortable in the rocky areas and didn't like having to clean off my hook all the time. But after that day, I kind of repeated that pattern the next couple times I went out with the lipless crankbait, and really got kind of comfortable with fishing in the grass there. And that really, you know, gave me some hope for, you know, the future, because that was an entire section of the river that I kind of shied away from with anything treble hook baits, because of, you know, just, you know, in my mind, it seemed like it wouldn't be the best place, but it really was productive. And, you know, I had fished that area before with a lot of different baits and didn't have near the luck that I had with the lipless. So I'm kind of excited for once kind of next year comes around to get back out to those spots. Let's see. So again, we talked about line, we talked about rods, the reels. I guess we can go into the baits that I've been throwing, and I've really, you know, kind of kept it simple. And one of the cool things about these, about lipless crankbaits, is for the most part, they are pretty cheap. They are on the cheaper end of the hard bait spectrum. You can walk into pretty much any major retailer that has fishing stuff and pick one up for pretty cheap. Probably the cheapest one that I found is the Cotton Cordell Super Spot. Again, this bait hasn't changed much. I have a buddy at my church who unfortunately has really started struggling with ALS and has started kind of going through his fishing stuff. He can't really get out and fish much anymore. When he does, he mostly fishes for trout at this point. So he's been kind of selling me his bass stuff. And this is a old rattle trap that he had. These baits just haven't changed much from the kind of when they came out. But as the saying goes, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So again, so we have the Cotton Cordell Super Spot. I picked up this at Walmart for, I think, $3. Nothing crazy. But the lure that I've been catching all of mine to lipless on lately has been, this is the one I caught the 20 inch on. This is a Bill Lewis rattle trap. This is the half ounce version. They do make a quarter ounce version. I have one somewhere. I couldn't find it when I was getting all my stuff ready. I really like this color. I've grown to love the black back chartreuse in the river. It seems to be the most productive color I have. And obviously that 20 inch smallie seemed to like it. So I can't argue with that, but they do also come in all sorts of different colors. This one's a little more of a shad pattern. And, so that is one of my favorites. Also, there's a, let's see, I think that's the only rattle traps I have. So obviously you had the super spot, the Cotton Cordell. One of the big ones that Tactical Bassin recommends is the LV500. This is a Lucky Craft bait. This one happens to be kind of a special one. When I first started fishing and started watching YouTube videos, I remember watching Tactical Bassin, and they talked about this version of the LV500 that had this little blade on the front of it. And in researching this article, I watched another Tactical Bassin video where they said that if you happen to have that, hold on to it because they don't make it anymore. They said it came out on the market really quick and left just as quickly, oddly enough, for whatever reason. So I'm kind of lucky to have that one. But again, so this is the Lucky Craft LV500. This one happens to be a bluegill pattern. They talk about that blade on the front. Sometimes fish just won't touch it, but sometimes it'll be the only thing that fish will touch. They'll be throwing different lipless cranks that the fish just don't want anything to do with it. Then they tie on the one with that little blade on the front and just starts getting hammered. So again, that's the Lucky Craft LV500. Another option that I've had pretty good luck on, this is the Sixth Sense Quake. The other one of these that I actually caught more fish on was a straight shad pattern. And funny story about that, I was fishing with, I think, a crankbait or something, and at my local lake under a bridge, and I foul hooked a little shad, and I pulled it up, and I was like, okay, well, that's what's down there. And I started digging through my tackle box, and the only thing I could find that even was it ended up being like a perfect match. It was the Quake, obviously in the shad color, not the bluegill like this one is. I think I have another one that's somewhat like it. This one was kind of like it, but the other one I had was more silver and had the spot on it, obviously. And tied that after I foul hooked that shad, I took a picture in my hand. I should have had that ready. But I had the Quake sitting next to the shad, and it was pretty much, you know, when you talk about matching the hatch, it pretty much matched it exactly. Size, shape, color, everything. It was great. And so I tied that on, and as soon as I threw it back in the same spot, bam, I caught a bass, caught another bass. I ended up catching 3 bass in like 5 minutes. It was great. You know, definitely gave me a lot of confidence in that bait. So the Quakes are a little bit more expensive. I ended up getting both of those. The first ones I got in a Sixth Sense bag that I had purchased at, you know, just a sample bag kind of thing. Then I went back out and got another one because it worked so well and kind of matched the size on that lake. So that again has been really a good bait for me. I have this Exospawn. Can't remember what it is. It's like Robo something. It's a very interesting shape. I haven't caught a fish on this yet, but I haven't thrown it a ton either. That was kind of early on when I was still kind of getting a handle on the whole lipless movement, if you will. So I didn't really give that a fair shake, I'm excited to kind of try that in the spring. Some of the other ones that I have, I'm not sure what this one is, but this is really kind of the color that I had thrown in the Quake that kind of matches. So I hung on to this one. This one is a little bit iridescent. I don't know if I can't really hold it up to the light, but you can kind of see through it. It's a little, but it has a little bit more flash than that other Quake that I have. So I'm looking forward to throwing that. A couple of the other ones that I wanted to share, my local tackle box tackle shop has, in their video, they talked a little bit about some other baits. I'm going to share my screen here because I pulled them up. I tried to go there this morning, but even though their website said they were open on Sundays, they were actually closed today. So that being said, here is the first one they recommend. That is the Spro Aruku Shad. I haven't been able to, like I said, try it out, but again, you can see there it's a little bit more expensive, but that was the one they recommended the most. I am looking forward to trying that out when I get back there when they're open. just to see. Couple other options that I wanted to show you guys were the Strike King Red Eye Shad. I have that here too. I do have one example of those here in my tackle box, but I'll show you in a second. It's not the best example. So there's the Strike King Red Eye Shad. These also come in two sizes. A lot of these crankbaits or these lipless cranks come in quarter ounce and half ounce versions. Some of them actually even come in 3/4 ounce versions. I've been mostly using the half ounce version. I do have a couple that are the 3/4 ounce versions, but the half ounce seems to work well for me in the depths of water that I'm fishing. I haven't been fishing deep, like I said, but when I say deep, I say probably the deepest I've fished it is maybe 10 foot, all the way up to, you know, a foot, around a foot is, kind of where I have fished this bait, but had luck. That being said, Tactical Bassin did talk about fishing it deep, like I said, and one of the other options that, Tactical Bassin really recommended, I'll show that here too, is the Jackal TN 70. Hold on a second, share screen. Pardon me, bear with me. I'm still getting used to this whole screen sharing thing here on StreamYard, but there you go. You can see there that's the Jackal TN, and specifically Tactical Bassin mentioned using the size 70, so the Jackal TN 70. Again, I don't have any of those either, but they were highly recommended by Tactical Bassin. So I'm definitely, looking forward to picking those up as well to give it a try. And as far as when to throw some of these and when to throw different ones, Tactical Bassin really recommended throwing the heavier baits when you're doing the yo-yo technique. So they talked about the, sorry about that. My dog is apparently freaking out upstairs, but they really recommend throwing the LV500 or the Quake, some of the bigger crankbaits when you're doing that yo-yo technique. Because it gets it down quicker, but then you can also kind of feel that vibration a little bit better. And I wanted to show you, so we'll stop sharing that. And I'll show you the other red-eye shad that I wanted to talk about. It's almost unrecognizable, and this is actually the bait that I learned to use my bait caster on, which is why it looks so torn up. I wanted something, you know, somewhat heavy that I could cast a good mile and kind of get really used to, not backlashing. But this is the body shape of a red-eye shad, but you can see the hooks are gone, the eyeballs are gone, most of the paint is gone. That just came from chucking that around my backyard and really getting used to my bait caster. So, again, the red eye shad is also, another bait that comes in, a bigger and a smaller size. And the smaller sizes, Tactical Bassin really recommended for, you know, the kind of straight retrieve or burning it along the top. Whereas the heavier baits, LV500 and the Quake, you know, for more of that deeper yo-yoing technique. Another thing, a lot of these baits come with different kind of sounds, so that this is the LV. It has that kind of marbly small rattle sound. The Quake kind of has a similar one. I'm drawing a blank on this. The Rattle Trap also has that really kind of high-pitched, more BB sound. But then some of them, like this, the Exospawn is actually silent. And then some of them, like my Red Eye Shad, it's more of like a knock. So they make them in lots of different sounds. I've had the most luck on, like I said, the Rattle Traps were more of that really small BB kind of high-pitched sound. But I've had luck with the hard knock crankbaits, the build crankbaits. So I also want to, you know, try and pick up a few of those, because I think there's times when all they hear is the high pitched ones. So when you come in there with a hard knock, sometimes you can get a few more baits or a few more bites if you're coming in behind some people who might have been throwing those the high pitched, more BB kind of sounding baits, you can kind of pick up a few of those bites that they might have missed just because they want to hear something different. But I think, you know, if I had to guess, I'd say that's probably why I've been having luck lately, because, again, they're going to hear these baits coming a long way away and be able to really key in on that sound and catch up to them. As far as colors, from what I've read, talks about, obviously, in the springtime, you want to do your crawl colors. Like I said, I actually had luck with that late summer as well, only that was all I had. I threw it and still got bites. So, you know, as much as, you know, color can matter, obviously sometimes I think it's just what you throw in front of them if you're lucky enough. Tactical Bassman talked about that crawl pattern also working. If you find a school and can get it fired up, you know, then you'll throw anything in there, something that'll really just catch their attention and it'll just annihilate it. So I kind of, like I said, I've had that similar luck. Then the obviously the bluegill patterns that you have, the more natural patterns. I also have this one. So those definitely are good to have. I have this guy. This one's, I think, a 3/4 one because it is a little heavier. But I actually caught a couple of fish on this early in this fall, too, once I lost that first crawl pattern. That was the one I tied on and ended up catching a bunch on that as well. So then you want to also have something more of the kind of more natural, or maybe the ghost. So this one you can't really see, but looking at my podcasting light through this, I can kind of see through this bait, even though it's also reflecting. This is kind of a translucent, but that ghost minnow color is really good. Susquehanna Fish and Tackle, my local tackle shop, that's the color that they recommended. So again, as soon as they open up, I can get there while they're open, I'm going to pick up a few of those as well for the river. And then your straight shad patterns, obviously, are going to work really well too. So kind of those are the basic colors that I would start out with if you're just getting started trying this out. And So we've covered a bunch of different stuff. We've talked about the rods, reels, lines, when. Hooks. That's one thing that almost every place I've read and watched videos, they recommend upgrading the hooks. I have not done that much. They said the Quake, you can't really see the hooks on the Quake there. Actually, you can on this one. They actually have some really good hooks on them. So they said for those, you don't necessarily have to upgrade those. But on the really cheaper baits like the Cotton Cordell Super Spot, you know, this is a $3 bait. So obviously the hooks probably aren't going to be the highest quality. So on those, if, you know, you're worried about that, that's definitely something you can do. Some of the hooks that I've heard thrown around are the Gamagatsu EWGs, the Owner ST56s. Tactical Bassman really seemed to recommend something where the tip points in and not straight up, just to really increase your hookup ratio. So as I kind of wear down the hooks on some of these, if I'm lucky enough to, you know, keep them and not lose them and actually just actually wear out the hooks, that is probably something I will start doing, is going towards more of the tipped in hooks, like the EWG kind of style treble hooks. So definitely one thing to keep in mind. Another thing that I heard mentioned, and it actually, one of the baits that I had been throwing and lost, had a red front hook. And that was one of the big tips that Tactical Bassman talked about. It just gives the fish something to key in on. So if you kind of seem like you're missing baits, or they're getting off, they're only catching the back hook for whatever reason, to put a red hook on the front and give that a try, because it'll, you know, kind of let them focus in a little bit more on the front of the bait when they're hitting it. And, you know, hopefully, you know, catch both hooks at that point then if they're really getting hooked well. So that's one thing that they mentioned. Another thing that they mentioned, kind of in similar to the LV500 with the blade on the front, is that VMC hook that they have out now that has the underspin blade attached to the treble hook. So you can kind of mimic that same thing, just using that VMC bladed hook as well. So that might get you a few more bites on a day when you know, they're seeing a lot of the regular lipless, and you know, just need a little added flash to pick up that extra bite. That's pretty much everything that I kind of wanted to go through. So again, apologize. I didn't have a guest today, but I hope you guys find this information useful. I hope you, you know, give it a shot. If you're heading out on the water in late fall, kind of quickly approaching winter, sadly, but I think right now, if you have the chance and you have a couple in your tackle box, you're still getting out there on the water, give it a try. And you know, if it happens to work out for you, let me know. I'd appreciate hearing from you guys. Always love hearing the feedback. And, you know, it definitely something that keeps me plugging along. Wanted to mention a few other things. I never got to say congrats to Randy Bean for winning the overall noobs tournament this year, but congrats to Randy. I think Chris Jansch came in second, so congrats to him as well. Again, thank you guys, everyone who participated in the noobs tournament this year. I always like competing against you guys. I kind of hop in every month just to, it helps me, gives me some reason to get out on the water. But I also like the camaraderie and the group and everything. So thanks again to all the noobs. Hopefully we'll bring that back next year. So anybody who missed out on it this year, or for whatever reason, didn't feel comfortable joining in, next year when it comes around, just give it a shot. It's super laid back. It's not a huge entry fee by any means. And it just gets you into that, tournament fishing. If you've, never done it before, you want to try it. So thanks again to everyone who participated in that this year. We'll definitely hopefully be bringing that back next year. Wanted to give a quick, you know, shout out, not shout out, but thoughts and prayers to Aaron Martin's family on his passing. Everything I've read, I never had the opportunity to meet him, but everything I've read and heard sounded like he was a great person, would, you know, kind of do anything for anyone. So and truly a great ambassador for the sport of fishing. So sad to hear of his passing, but you know, thoughts and prayers definitely go out to his family as well. And recently, just yesterday, I found out that one of my cousin's wives passed away due to some addiction that she was battling. So thoughts and prayers definitely go out to my cousin and his family. It was a shock. And if any of you guys are struggling with any kind of addiction or something, just please, please reach out. There's definitely help out there. And, you know, in dealing, you know, working with Heroes on the Water, you know, people who are battling things, fishing can be a great outlet. And, you know, just seek out, you know, anything you can do to, you know, kind of try and break that cycle. So it's just been something that's been weighing on my mind the last, you know, yesterday and today since I heard that news. So definitely, you know, reach out to your friends, anybody, you know, that could be struggling. It's definitely a tough time for all of us as we kind of see our way through these crazy times. But again, you know, go home, hug your family. And yeah, so, all right, enough of that, all that BS. Guys, thanks for joining me this week again. I have a couple of wintertime techniques that I'd like to bring to you in the future. Have some guests that I'm working on lining up for that. Brad Hicks had given me a few ideas too that you guys had put on Instagram. So I'm not trying to line up guests for those ideas as well. So look forward to those in the future. Thanks for hanging with me today, guys. I hope you learned something, and we'll be back hopefully with a guest next week. But until then, this has been the Bass Fishing for Noobs segment on the Paddle and Fin podcast, where we bring you the techniques, the tricks, and the tips to help you rip more lips. Thanks, guys, and I will catch you next week.
Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode on Paddle and Fin. Don't forget to go check out our website at paddle, the letter N, and fin.com. Don't forget to check out the YouTube channel at Paddle and Fin. If you got a question, comment, want to hear from a future guest on a future episode, feel free to email us at paddle, the letter N, and fin@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Paddle and Fin on Facebook and Instagram. Shout out to our show supporters, Angler, the Angler Button, and app just makes for a better time on the water and creates a virtual logbook for every fishing outing out on the water. Shout out to Rocktown Adventures, located in Northern Illinois, for all your kayaking, camping, and hiking needs. Shout out to Jigmasters Jigs. When in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com.